Chapter 95. Logan had no idea how the battle was going. Shortly after the signal had gone up that Janine had been recovered, and he'd committed himself to meeting those soldiers on the east side of the hill below the castle, flares had gone up behind them, calling for all the reinforcements. But for the moment, none of it mattered. At the base of the hill beneath the huge castle, the expedition Logan had sent to recover Janine was caught in a battle with a few hundred Caladorans. The ground here was covered with the black dust that was all that remained of Black Barrow. It had settled quickly, but as the forces fought and as Logan's men rode forward, they kicked it up once more, obscuring the battle. With 6 inches of dust on the ground, Logan didn't dare a full charge. If that black snow concealed pitfalls, horses would fall. The riders behind, blinded by thick black dust, would ride right over their companions. Logan and his foremost riders were within 30 paces when he saw something looming through the black dust. It was vaguely bear-shaped, but men were stuck to its skin, screaming. "Break! Break!" Logan shouted. "Ferali!" He veered left. A crowd of Caladorans appeared out of the dust before him, all pressing to get away from the Ferali. The Caladorans were panicked, totally unprepared for the sudden appearance of cavalry, and Logan's line plowed through them. His destrier trampled half a dozen before the press of bodies became so thick it stopped them. A vast arm, its skin writhing with gaping little mouths, passed over Logan's head, brushing his helmet with a scraping sound as little teeth tried to chew through metal. Logan couldn't see the rest of the creature except as a shadow against the lesser blackness of the dust. He lurched as a horse collided into the back of his destrier. It jarred him forward, and the men before him slowly yielded, either crushed, or faces laid open from the destrier's teeth. A crackling ball of mage fire whizzed through the air and exploded against the Ferali's hide, doing nothing. The Magi didn't know what they were facing. More screams rose as the force of Logan's charge pushed his men directly into the Ferali. Logan found horses wedged to either side of him, Nasher on one side, Vi on the other, her red dress glowing from within as she hurled a flurry of fist-sized fireballs, some into the Caladorans packed before them, and some at the Ferali. "It's not doing anything!" she shouted. The Ferali suddenly disappeared, hunkering down into the earth. "Ah, shit!" Logan said. He'd seen this before. The Ferali wasn't leaving or hiding. It was rearranging itself to use all its new meat. The press of the lines pushed men toward it. The Ferali exploded upward, and men and horses were flung into the air in every direction. They fell and crushed their fellows. "Spread out! Spread!" Logan shouted. Vi threw up a flare, but Logan bet no more than 100 men saw it. Suddenly, he saw magic rippling through the air over his head, diffuse as a cloud. With a sound like a slamming door, the magic plunged to the ground. Within a square 100 paces on each side, the black dust dropped to the earth and was held there. The air was clear. Logan looked up the hill and saw the source of the magic. Solon Tofusen, the man he'd thought he'd known for a decade. He stood with a dark-haired man on a promontory. The other Magi was crackling with light, weaving a dozen strands of magic. Logan barely registered their presence before looking back to the battle. He saw that they were caught in what had been an estate's garden. There were walls on two sides, and it was toward those walls that Logan had been trying to retreat. The Ferali sat in the middle. It had foregone legs to simply squat with half a dozen arms, plucking men and horses from the ground indiscriminately, and if the clear air helped Logan and his forces, it helped the Ferrale too.
2nd, 3rd, 4th battalions, circle behind!
Logan shouted. Vi threw up the signal, but getting an army to change direction wasn't a quick process. The 4th battalion might arrive in time to stop the Caladoran force from retreating, but nothing could save the 1,000 men trapped with Logan in this garden. Vi began attacking the Ferrale again, but now she was throwing a stream of balls of light toward the Ferrale's eyes. She wasn't trying to hurt it now, merely blind it, distract it, slow its killing. In moments, a dozen other Magi followed her lead, and dazzling streams of light flowed toward the great armed blob in the garden's center. For moments, it was paralyzed. Then it picked up a horse from the Caladoran side of the garden, where it could still see. It hurled the horse toward one of the Magi, crushing her and half a dozen others. It extended an arm, and dozens of swords and spears bubbled to the surface and floated into its hand. It hurled all of them at the next Magi. Logan craned his neck to see how much the press had eased. Not enough.
"Janine!"
someone yelled. It was the man on the promontory with Solon, and it was a cry of utter despair. His arms were spread out, each hand swimming with intricate weaves. Logan wondered for a brief moment how he saw them. He'd never been able to see magic weaves before. Then the man brought his hands together, squeezing the weaves into one ball. Magic leapt from his hands like an arrow and hit the Ferrale, and unbelievably, stuck. Magic never stuck to Ferrale. The Ferrale was lifting another horse from the Caladoran side of the circle. There was a woman in the saddle, clambering back, trying to throw herself off the back of the horse, but the Ferrale's hand was clamped over her dress. It was Janine. Logan's heart jumped into his throat, but there was nothing he could do. The man on the promontory screamed, and the magic in his hands went taut, like a rope tied to the Ferrale. Shrieking, he yanked. The horse dropped from the Ferrale's hand, and Logan lost sight of his wife. The Ferrale's gray skin was shimmering. In a wave of black smoke, the skin evaporated. With a hiss of escaping gases, the Ferrale slumped, died, and burst apart. The maze of magic that held it together clipped like a Fordian knot. Logan's heels were into his destrier before the Ferrale's last arm hit the earth. He rode over mounds of stinking entrails and crashed into the first Caladorans he saw between him and where Janine had fallen. Logan caught a glimpse of the 4th battalion coming into place and sealing the northern exit from the garden. A Ladeshian and 2 dozen men had dismounted and climbed into a raised stone balcony. The mansion the balcony had been attached to was a ruin, but the balcony itself was pristine, commanding views of the whole garden. The Ladeshian raised his arms and threw fire into the sky. It faded slowly until it burned around him, forming the outline of a dragon.
"Behold," Moburu shouted, "the High King is come. King Gyre, come make your obeisance."
Moburu had no more than 30 men left, all of them stuck on the balcony with him. Logan ran up the steps. When he reached the top, he saw Janine. Her rich velvet clothing was torn and dirty, smeared with black dust like soot. But she appeared uninjured. Her arms were bound to her sides, and a spell sat around her neck and head, with vicious teeth dimpling her skin. The jaws were held open only by a thin weave Moburu held. If Moburu were killed, the jaws would snap shut and crush her skull. Logan didn't question how he knew it, but he did. Sensing Janine, Logan's heart surged with a mix of feelings too powerful for words. To see her alive after giving up hope took his breath away. No one would take Janine away from him again. No one would hurt her. Logan held up his hand, forestalling those following him from attacking Moburu. Moburu was raving,
"It is written, he passeth through hell and waters below and rises, marked with death, marked with the moon dragon's gaze, in the shadow of the death of the barrow of man's last hope. He rises, and fire attends his birth."
"I tell you," Moburu shouted, "this prophecy is fulfilled this day in your sight. I, Moburu Orsul, son of the North, rightful God-King, rise this day to take my throne. Pretender, I challenge you, your crown against mine."
He lowered his voice.
"And her life."
"Done," Logan said instantly. "Hand over the death spell to one of your witches."
"What?" Vi asked. "Your Majesty, we have him. He's got nowhere to go."
"No interference," Moburu said.
"Done," Logan shouted.
"And done."
Moburu turned and handed over the weave to a Verdmeister at his left. Logan tore off his helmet and pulled the crown from it. He tossed it to the same man.
"Janine," he said, meeting her wide eyes. "I love you. I won't let them have you."
The battle had ended. There were no Kaladorans left to kill here.
"I was born on the day foretold, 22 years ago. I bear the signs,"
Moburu shouted, his eyes shining. He raised his right arm and displayed a glittering green tattoo reminiscent of a dragon.
"Be prepared to greet your High King."
"This is madness, Logan," Vi said. "The man's a Verdmeister. You can't face him."
Logan's eyes finally left Janine.
"Nice tattoo," he told Moburu.
He drew his sword. Logan's right arm felt burning heat. Logan looked down. The incandescent green pattern etched into his arm had melted through the chain mail of his sleeve. It burned as bright as the moon dragon's eyes. Logan caught one glimpse of fear in Moburu's face before Moburu's skin was overwhelmed with black knots of vir. Moburu threw out a hand, and a gout of magic leapt for Logan. Something burst from Logan's arm to meet it. All Logan saw was rushing scales and the burning green of the moon dragon's eyes, as if the entire creature had taken up residence in his arm and was now springing free, full-sized. Its mouth snapped shut on Moburu. Then it disappeared. Moburu stood immobile. At first, Logan thought the moon dragon had been illusory or his imagination. It appeared to have done nothing at all to his opponent. Then, every tracery of vir within Moburu's skin shattered. With a dragon's strength, Logan swung his sword down on the pretender. It caught Moburu at the crown of his head and sheared through him. Before the halves of Moburu's body hit the ground, Vi was on top of the Verdmeister, holding the death spell on Janine. He and every other Kaladoran and Lodrakari and wild man on the balcony raised their hands slowly. The death spell dissolved. The Kaladorans dropped to their knees and looked at Logan with something in their eyes uncomfortably close to worship.
"Battle Mistress!"
a voice called out in the sudden silence. It was the odd mage who'd killed the Ferali. His eyes were unfocused. He smelled strange to Logan's sensitive nose. He laughed suddenly, then stopped, and said somberly,
"Battle Mistress, you're needed in the Hall of Winds. Come quickly, or Midcryu is dead."
He turned to Logan.
"High King, summon every man you'd have live to see the night."
Janine was staring at the madman with horror.
"Who is this man?"
Logan demanded.
"High King?"
The mage had made it onto the balcony. He held a thick gold chain in his hands, but abruptly seemed lost.
"Dorian," Janine said. "Gods, what have you done?"
"Dead to me. Not dead, but dead to me,"
Dorian mumbled.
"He's a prophet,"
Solon said, following in Dorian's wake.
"What he speaks is true.
There's no time, Your Majesty. We must go."
Janine was crying. Logan pulled her into his arms, not knowing exactly what her tears were for. The ground trembled, and sound rolled over the whole land, like the earth itself was sighing. Solon swore a string of curses.
"Nef's done it! Damn him! He's broken Jorsen's spell!"
Solon was staring at the black dust that covered everything within miles. It suddenly congealed, forming a thin sludge everywhere. Logan turned to the Sethi King.
"You're sure of this man? You'd bet 60,000 souls on his word."
"That and more," Solon said.
Dorian wept. Solon took the great gold chain from his hands and draped it over Logan's shoulders. Logan turned to Vi.
"Send up flares. All our armies to the castle immediately. And then get yourself there, fast."